Hey y'all, it is time. Time for your boy, DJ Smooth T. This is the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show. Come on,
can I sing my song,
take
y'all?
It away.
You can hate on me, but I'm still gonna do my.
Hey y'all, this is DJ Smooth D on the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. Well, we are back and better than ever. This is episode 2 of the show. Of course, we discussed the early dealings of Southern Soul and how Southern Soul all got started. We talked about the blues shows. We basically talked about a lot of different things as far as the community of Southern Soul. But I promised you a look into what I like to call, I guess, the foundation of the Southern Soul itself, and also the foundation of what we call the blues. So a lot of people equate a lot of different things to the blues. A lot of people do. And as I tell people all the time, to me, we had a lot of different genres join the blues. Like, we called it the gumbo of music in our last episode. But I think that people don't realize how much of an importance that the blues really is. So today we're going to talk about one portion of the blues, which is the blues man. Let's do some quick things on the blues itself. And we're just going to talk a minute. I mean, it's literally, for me, it's just a revisit for me. Cause like I said, for me, it's an opportunity to go back and hear some things and, you know, listen and understand exactly what the blues is to me, the blues is to you, and many different things. But we have to start back, probably, I'm going to dare to say, and this is just a guess. This is, like I said, this for me is just being informative to people. There are a lot of different things that I've never known everything about everything, because it's just a bad idea. You always should be open to learn. As I heard someone say one time, if you put your feet on the ground in the morning, you're going to learn something. Some of the smallest details in the world were learned. You think, oh, well, Jerry Rice is talented enough. San Francisco 49ers, former wide receiver, was talented enough to be a great football player. No, he had to learn the skill. You think about people like, I don't know, Lionel Richie. You thought he was a great songwriter. No, he had to learn the skill. He learned it, but there was some talent and some learning mixed together. That's just my own opinion, as I tell people. Nobody knows everything. If they do, you can't. You can't, you know. But here's a definition of the blues, and it's basically a Wikipedia article, which is kind of, you know, it's loosely based. But it says, in melody, blues is distinguished by the use of the flattened third, fifth, seventh of the associated major scale. Blues shuffles or walking bass reinforce the trance-like rhythm and the call and response, and they formed a repetitive effect called a groove. So let me kind of condense that down a little bit. Blues, people always said blues was a depressing music, which it was. I mean, it was depressing. I mean, but the good thing about it is it was an American art form. You can go anywhere on the globe and people will say the blues came from America. And it did. It came from right here in states like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi. Mississippi to me is the hotbed of the blues. We had quite a number of blues artists from here in Alabama. One of them in particular, he wasn't an artist. He was the founder of the blues. His name was W.C. Handy. You should go read up on him. But there's the Alabama Blues Association, which is the Blues Hall of Fame. And these were people that were influential in the blues. W.C. Handy is a good example. If you go to Mississippi, you'll hear of the likes of Robert Johnson, young man by the name of B.B. King. Now, mind you, little known fact that I didn't know. I thought his name was really B.B. His name was Riley. So with that being said, most blues men, they sung in what we know them as juke joints. They would come out of the fields through the week and go to these little bitty places and sing. They would sing about hard work. They would sing about the fields. They would sing about, oh, I had to go to jail. They would sing about my woman left me. They would sing about drinking. They would sing about some of the most harsh and depressing things. And if you ever notice, people say, oh, I don't like the blues. Is it that you don't like modern blues, or do you not like traditional blues? That's more of the question. But the blues man was a traveling guy. He was a working guy, because most blues men were self-taught. They taught themselves how to play the blues. They taught themselves how to play guitars, how to play the harmonica, how to play piano. There again, these were men. Now, mind you, stay tuned for the episode of the blues women, because there are women of the blues as well. But I tell you this with all, we're going to tie this together later on, but as I said in the last episode, the blues is the foundation for Southern soul. People say, oh, no, it's not. Yes, it is. I'll tell you why. Because if we didn't have, as the definition said, it's a flat note, right? Okay. Now, you'll hear a lot of people say that, oh, it's the blues E. Because most blues songs, the traditional blues, Mississippi Delta blues, was in the note of E. And E, it was because E was, to me, was an easy note to sing in. It wasn't hard. It's an easy note to play in. And if you're playing in flat notes, I believe flat notes are a little bit easier to play. That's just me. I've always been a budding musician. I've written a few songs myself. But we have to realize that overall, that blues is an American art form. It was never created anyplace else. Now, that's something I want to leave with you guys, because a lot of people simply say that, oh, no, the blues was from England. No, the blues was from America. There's only two American musics that we can honestly say that was created right here in America: jazz and blues. But we have to remember, there again, the blues came before jazz. That's where we get a lot of Dixieland, what they call Dixieland, and ragtime, and a lot of the bebop, and a lot of the big band was from the blues. Those flattened notes. The only difference between modern day blues and traditional blues is just that. It's the notes. Modern blues, what we hear today, is a little brighter. It's the A, it's the B, it's the C, it's the G. Those notes, the brighter notes, the bigger notes. That's what modern blues is all about. But anyway, back to the blues itself. The foundation is just a simple thing. It's not anything hard. And of course, there is different types of blues. Those blues men were playing different types. We know from past experience, and also from listening to the blues, there's always been Delta blues, far back as I can remember. There's country blues. There's down-home blues, which the down-home blues, believe it or not, to me, is where we get soul blues from. That's where our soul blues comes from. You've got urban blues, which is kind of modern blues. And then you've got harmonica blues, which harmonica blues is just what it says. It's harmonic. It's all about that harmonica. Good example of a blues man that does both is the legendary Bobby Rush. He plays harmonica and he plays a blues guitar. He plays a mean acoustic guitar. He is one of the greats of the blues. But there again, he has always been a blues man. You hear him in soul music, yes. You hear him in Southern soul, yes. But his foundation and where he's won his Grammys and his nominations of Grammys from is the blues. He is in the Blues Hall of Fame. He is just one of those guys that we definitely just pay homage to. We literally do. I mean, I've met the man a couple of times, and I tell people all the time, he is to me, he is the consummate professional when it comes to the music. We can talk about some of the greats of the blues, but some of them include, you know, of course, you always hear when you hear blues, you hear B.B. King. He's the ambassador of the blues. Now, he's one of the other artists to me that has been around the world with the blues. God rest his soul. We pay homage to him. He's from Indianola, Mississippi. He has a museum there. His other claim to fame is Lucille. Anecdote, little known fact about Lucille, and you probably heard the story. If you haven't, here's the story. It was rumored many, many years ago he was dating a girl. And as he was dating the girl, the place they were, I guess it might have been a home or somewhere she lived or he lived, but the house caught on fire. And when it caught on fire, the only thing that was left were about to catch on fire was his guitar. And he went in and got his guitar. And that's where the name Lucille came from. I believe the girl's name was Lucille, if I'm not badly mistaken. But you've got people like Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker and Son House, Blind Lemon Jefferson, Jimi Hendrix. They consider him part of the blues. Yes, he is part of the blues. Like I said, W.C. Handy. Another one that was very, very important, and we always thought he was a soul singer, Mr. Ray Charles. He did start out playing the blues. He played with Lowell Folsom for many, many years. He was his piano player. That's where he got his blues background from, I believe, was Lowell Folsom. Shouts out to Lowell Folsom. Albert King, Lightning Hopkins, another one. One of my favorites, and he's everybody's favorite, Buddy Guy. He's still in the business. I think he's getting ready to retire after a number of years in the business. He's one of those guitar players that you only, you know, you can only say, oh, you know, hey, he's another, the consummate professional. Played all over the world as well. And we have to do, you know, we have to pay homage to these folks because these folks are some of the blues men. But not only these gentlemen, young man by the name of, and I want to give a little story to this guy, Howlin' Wolf. Now, his thing was Chicago. He was a Chicago blues man. You can't really say that the blues was primarily a Mississippi. We've got Mississippi blues men. You can't say that because born in 1910, Chester Burnett. And at that time, he was a rival when he got really in the game to a young man by the name of Muddy Waters. Great guitarist. And he was fortunate enough. This was something that you know, that we're finding out. He was fortunate enough to play guitar with the infamous yet famous Charlie Patton and Sonny Boy Williamson, which another blues guy. B.B. King, of course. He was just a great guy. Little known fact, and I tell this fact all the time, and I'm super, super proud of it. His driver was by the name of Bobby Bland. They were the best of friends. Bobby Bland was not a blues man. To me, he wasn't. He was more of a soul guy. A lot of these artists, because we have to continue to remember that the blues was the foundation for the rest of this music that we've got now. A lot of blues artists went on to sing soul music. B.B. King, Bobby Bland, Lattimore. Lattimore is another one. Benny Lattimore. Johnny Taylor sung soul music, but they drug him back into the blues during the latter part of his career. If you ever go and look at clips on YouTube of the 70s and 80s and 90s show called Soul Train, you'll see them on there. You'll see B.B. King, and you'll see Bobby Bland, and you'll see Etta James, and you'll see Denise LaSalle, and you'll see all of these artists that were traditionally considered as blues artists, but they were on the soul train as well. But Ambassador of the Blues, like I said before, Thrill Is Gone, that's his song. Here's another one. And there again, we talk about different instruments. Elmore James, he was the king of the slide guitar. He was famous for that slide guitar. His voice, his kind of sense of a cracking amplifier. Shouts out to the website Jazz Fuel. There, thank you for providing us with a lot of the information on these ladies and gentlemen. Now, also, here is one, here's a twist, big twist. He's considered a blues man, which he is, because he plays a mean blues guitar, Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton is probably one of the finest examples of English artists accepting the blues. Now, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a U.S. citizen, the United States of America, I believe, has the worst taste in music. They want white microwave music. Now, you can take it like you want, but this is the truth. Because if you go to England, if you go to France, if you go to Germany, they have pedestaled blues artists, our blues artists, higher than anybody else. They love soul music. They love it. They love soul music, they love gospel music, and they love country music because it's a people music. Now, don't get me wrong. Hip-hop and pop music, some of the traditional music that comes from those areas is great for a lot of people. But most everybody that is over there that are true rock and roll musicians, true rock musicians, they are blues fans, and I'm talking about big blues fans. Eric Clapton is a great example. This young man had a very heavy influence of Chicago blues, even though he was from London, 100%. But he made a lot of that music. He began his career in 1963 with the Yardbirds. So to say that blues is just a black music, it's not. It is actually, it is one of the most transcending musics, that genres that I've ever seen, along with hip hop. But the blues and jazz, transcending meaning to me, it's a word I like to use that is more or less, it doesn't have a racial barrier. Music is a universal language. It's like talking, because people may not know the words to a song, But I guarantee if you went to any club in the United States and played King George, Little Weight, or you played J1, I Got This Record, or if you played Mel Waiters' Hole in the Wall, or Denise LaSalle singing Trapped by This Thing Called Love, everybody would know the music. If you played, here's a good example. If you ever played Marvin Sees, Candy Liquor, even young people know that music. So to me, the blues was just that. It was just good music. So to say this, and to say it with all sincerity, he was probably one of the best of the blues men. He's still around. He's still playing the blues. You got to grab another one. This young man, like I said, his name is Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix played all kinds of guitar to me. He is one of the greatest guitarists that there is a list of 50, I think it's 50 or 100, of the greatest guitarists that ever walked the earth. Rolling Stone did it. He was on that list. I think he's like in the top five, top 10. He's another one. This young man, his name is R.L. Burnside. Another guy. Played guitar, played harmonica. There again, that harmonica is something special. Son House. Son House. Let's talk about this young man. And we all do. We all start out as storefront preachers. He started out as a storefront preacher. But at the age of 25, he started singing the blues. He did a stint in jail, a prison, and he was, his style was, there again, was caught by Charlie Patton. Charlie Patton, and we'll get to him, we'll talk about him as well. He's probably one of the most important people in the blues, to me. But we're going to also do, like I said, we're going to talk about the women. So there again, we've got to realize that we got to have two episodes. Can't be one. And like I said, we're going to tie all this together because we're going to do the blues. We're going to do gospel because we're going to talk more. Like I said, blues is well, Southern soul. We always have to remember Southern soul is a mixture of blues, soul music, and gospel rhythms. So we got to get the gospel there to bring you guys into what I like to call into the room. So we have to think about it like this. There's many different portions of the blues. There's many different stories of the blues. There's many different rumors and things that are true or untrue. For example, if you talk about the blues, you got to talk about Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson was an okay talent. Now, mind you, he wasn't that good. But rumor has it, and the place is there. There is a place called I believe it's Clarksdale. But anyway, the spot is marked where he basically sold his soul to the devil for the blues. He went out one night walking with his guitar, and rumor has it, and the story that was told was that he was caught at this corner, and the devil said to him, he said, if you want to sing and sound like one of the greats of the blues, I'll give it to you. He said, and this, like I said, there's been many different stories. I don't know where the correct story comes from. But it was said that the devil told him, he said, I'm going to come back for you. He said, I'm not going to let you have this all to yourself for the rest of your life. And he gave him the blues, gave him the guitar, gave him the skills, because he had his guitar already. I'm going to take that back. But Say gave him the skill, gave him the voice. Said the next day he started singing. And he went around Mississippi and he went around the country. And then his number was up and the devil came back for him. But they always say that Robert Johnson was a legend when it came to the blues. He was a legend. Also, they said his real demise was not the devil coming back after him. His real demise was a poisoned bottle of liquor, a poisoned bottle of whiskey. So you take it like you want to take it. Like I said, you got John Lee Hooker. He's another one. Let me see. Sam Lay. He's a blues drummer. All of these folks are on, you know, across the web. If you want to, you know, look for them, find them. There's some wonderful, I don't know if the documentary still exists, but what got me hooked on the blues was the documentary. Ken Burns must have did that documentary. I know 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. It's called Story of the Blues. And I'm trying to find it. I'm going to find it because Bobby Rush is in it. And they talk about the song Over the Rainbow, which was done by McKinley Mitchell. That was one of the, it's sung by some of everybody, but McKinley Mitchell, he did it the best. They talk about a lot of different things. They talk about where the artists could stay on the chit. They call it the Chitlin Circuit, which was literally, you did most of the Southern clubs, most of the Southern dives in middle and the state of Georgia, the state of Alabama, state of Mississippi. I think there are some portions of I know Louisiana, Florida, and of course Texas. I believe there's still some of the Chitlin Circuit. Not really sure. But ladies and gentlemen, that's to say all of that is to honestly say that we are foundationally on the foundation of the blues. There's no rhyme or reason about it. The artists were literally, you know, they were, like I said, they were pioneers. I didn't talk about him, but Albert King was the king of electric blues because he had electric guitar. Like I said, Lightning Hopkins, Willie Dixon, he's another one. He was a prolific bassist, songwriter, producer. He had a lot to do with Chicago blues. T-Bone Walker was probably one of the most emulated blues singers. He did the original version of Stormy Monday. Like I said, Elmore James, a young man by the name of Mississippi John Hurt, so we know where he comes from. He was a folk and country blues singer, Delta Blues. Another, I call him Blue-Eyed Soul, another Blue-Eyed Soul artist, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Probably one of, there again, he was another one of those great, just great guitarists, played great guitar. Gone Too Soon. Just trying to think. Freddie King, another just great vocalist, great singer. A lot of the artists, like I said, they either came from Texas, Mississippi, Chicago, Alabama, Georgia. Lil Walter, he was a pioneer of the harmonica. He was a harmonica blues. Bo Diddley. You know where Bo Diddley is. Albert Collins, Blind Willie Johnson, Otis Redding. We do drag him into the blues because of his sheer vernacular. Let me not use the word vernacular. His sheer power with his voice is beyond understanding. I want you to go and listen to some of these folks. Lead Belly is another one. Now, Joe Bombencina, he's a current one. He's one of those modern day blues artists. He's Caucasian. Yes. Jimmy Reed, another one. The list goes on and on and on. Here's a little bit about, like I said, we go back and talk about legends of the blues. Charlie Patton. Charlie Patton was, he was often referred to as the father of Delta blues. I don't know. There again, I'm always researching. I'm always doing a lot of different things, and I hear a lot. And I'm gonna go back and find Mr. Charlie Patton. Want to hear him? Taj Mahal. Here's another true Mississippian, Fred McDowell. Delta blues there again. I like his name, Big Bill Boomsley. So he must have apparently, he was from Chicago. He was one of the Chicago blues guys. But apparently he was a big man. So it's just amazing how many people, Otis Rush. Let me see who else we can find that's familiar. Junior Wells, I've heard it. But if you ever notice, there were a lot of blind folks. Blind folks are, to me, they're virtuosos when it comes to music. Let's see. Skip James, another Delta blues artist. We have Bobby Bland, and here's kind of the reasoning behind him. If you listen to the genres that he's involved in, like I told you, soul blues, pop music, rhythm and blues music, jazz and soul music. See, he was never truly a blues artist. They lumped him in there because he started out singing blues. As you can see, he developed a sound that was mixed with gospel, blues, and R&B. I told you, Southern Soul. That's another name for soul blues, Southern Soul. So there again, we have to totally look at it just like the way it is. Now, here's one that's kind of off the wall a little bit, but we kind of can drag her into Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul. She also started out singing jazz music. People don't realize it, but that's why I told y'all on the last episode, a lot of artists can't be blues artists. They started out singing jazz and gospel because that's what got them in the business. But eventually they made it over to the blues. They made it over to soul music. Excuse me. But like I said, nevertheless, we can think of it in many different ways. We can literally be a... the blues is a melting pot of music. I mean, the blues was sitting there on the stove, and it started out as an empty pot. But once the blues was in the pot, the blues to me, when it comes to gumbo, is like that root, that flour, and that binder. If it was grease, or if it was water, or whatever it is, it was that flour and that binder. It was that flour and that liquid, bacon grease, or chicken grease, or I don't know, beef broth, or chicken stock, or whatever it is. But it was poured in the pot, and it was real low. It simmered, but we had to keep stirring it, and that's when they started throwing stuff in. As we stirred it and we got our roux together, then we said, okay, we've got the foundation. So then people started adding music to it. It was on the bottom, it was still there. But we started adding instruments, guitars and harmonicas and drums. And then as we added it, the flavor of the stew or the gumbo came out. Then eventually it got done. We added okra and whatever makes a gumbo. I don't want to get the Louisiana, I don't want to get the New York crowd, the New Orleans crowd started, or the Louisiana crowd started, but whatever makes gumbo is what happened. So when we got the genres in there that made Southern Soul, it included the blues was on the bottom. Then they added all the vegetables in, and that was soul music. And then we added gospel in there. Now, mind you, as I tell people, the blues and gospel came right next door to each other. So when they made the blues, they said, okay, we got to have a more spiritual music. That's where we got gospel from. Because if you listen to gospel, the gospel music is where we got our singing from the fields. We got the old Negro spirituals. We got the, also we got call and response. That's where gospel came from. Because the blues has call and response in it already. See, so we just gotta, you know, we gotta have that opportunity in there. So I'm going to say that to say all of this. I want you guys to realize that as we go down this journey through Southern Soul, let's always look back to the blues. Let's always look back there. Because if you listen to the lyrics of Southern Soul or Soul Blues, you're listening to the lyrics of the blues itself. Traditional Delta, Chicago, Texas blues. You're listening to, oh, we drink a lot. Yeah, we do. We commit adultery. Yeah, we do. If you're trapped by this thing called love, then the thrill is gone. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like it makes sense now. Because the blues was always depressing. For a long time, Southern Soul and blues itself, Southern Soul and Soul Blues itself was depressing. But it became modernized because we added R&B. But there again, R&B and blues is where we got rhythm and blues from. See, so the blues is always around. It's hanging around. It's like a bomb. A bomb is always around, right? So when you create a new kind of music, people always say, oh, we just created this out of, no, you didn't. You didn't create that out of the air. The blues was always sitting there. It's always that old bomb that's just hanging around. It's just like a lot of hip-hop music. If you go back and listen to a lot of hip-hop music, now it's because of copyright infringement 30 years ago. But a lot of trap music has a lot of gospel undertones in it because they're using that bass music. If you ever listen to a lot of, good example, Kanye, Mr. Ye, he's a very good producer, but he uses a lot of soul music because a lot of soul music comes from Kanye's music because his music is a little dark. It's a little depressing. So what's more depressing than blues and soul music? So hip-hop music itself, I think they're going to eventually understand, if they haven't already, that they always have to lean on the blues. They can't create their own music. Another example, a young man that just came out with a song a few weeks ago. I don't know if the masses know it or not. His name is Jameson Ross. He's singing a song called Say You Love Me. The original version was made by a young man by the name of DJ Rogers, which, by the way, to me, I like the original song on that song. The only real change that Jameson Ross made to that song was he made it brighter. See, that's where the modernization comes in, at going from depressing blues to modern blues, or to modern soul, or modern R&B, or what they call now trap soul or neo soul. Because neo soul only means new soul. Neo means new. I think that's Latin. But anyway, we always got to remember about that old bum, the blues. He's always hanging around. He's not going anywhere because all of our music is in that gumbo pot. you come out with a pot of Southern soul because the blues is the roux. If you don't have a really good roux with gumbo, they'll tell you, this is from what I've heard, they'll tell you your gumbo is going to taste like trash because it's not a good sauce. It's not a good foundation. It's not a good start. Good example, since we're talking about food, I can make my own fish meal or fish batter. I can make it myself. If I don't have a good corn meal, that corn batter, that fish batter is not going to taste good. But anyway, I do digress, and I'm totally off the subject. But anyway, the whole thing we got to remember is there again is that the music itself, if we don't lean our foundation to the blues and these blues men, there would be nothing else. It always starts on the bottom. You always got to have a good foundation for a home. That's why a lot of people don't realize how much of an importance of Southern Soul is. Now, the community, the artists, the promoters, the record companies of Southern Soul, they know. Because a lot of us either did one or two things. We either listened to a lot of traditional blues or we listened to a lot of gospel. Okay. But anyway, what I want to do for you guys is I'm going to play a tiny few snippets of some of the best blues songs that I have found. I want you to enjoy this music. Take it all in. Go to places like Spotify and Amazon and whatever your favorite platform is and put in Delta Blues and take a listen for a few moments. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that you got to listen for hours. No, just take a minute and listen. You might find something you like. Now, as we play the music, we're going to play it for a few moments. I'm going to come back in just a few moments. And what we're going to do is I've got a couple of little things that I want to talk about. We're going to do the news. Got some news for you. And I've also got some the charts. So I'll be back in just a few moments. Again, this is a quick listen of traditional Delta, Chicago, and 100% blues. Hang on with me. We'll be right back in just a few seconds.
In this prison, I go home on a fight.
Me. Yes, they call it stormy Monday. But
all right, family, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed that little snippet of some of the blues. It's just a portion. Like I said, I definitely want you guys to go back and listen to a lot of this music. On next week's show, the next episode that you hear, we're going to talk about the blues women, some of the women of the blues. And there again, that gumbo pot that we now call the blues when we're throwing everything in that pot. Excuse me, when we're throwing everything in that Southern Soul pot. I'm sorry. Not the blues, because the blues is there again. We're talking over ourselves. The blues is the foundation. Excuse me. It's the roux in that pot of gumbo that makes Southern Soul. So I appreciate it so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There again, we appreciate you for all you do. Let's get back into some more info and some more news and things like that that's coming across the pipe in terms of Southern Soul. Excuse me, Southern Soul. We're going to do, I've got a new chart, another top 20. Shout out to Urban, the Urban Influencer. They do a lot of different charts. I'm part of the the DJ core or the DJ clan of that influencer. So we were talking about, and I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of, I guess you would say, more addition to this pot of gumbo that we call Southern Soul and Soul Blues. So we're talking about the top 10, sponsored by the Urban Influencer. It's the Southern Soul chart. And right now, we'll start with, I guess we'll start with the number. They've got a top 30 here, so we've got quite a few to go through, but hopefully we can get through them rather quickly. On the, just coming into the chart, number 30, 12 Till with the song called Sugar. At number 29 is Will Gatlin singing Jody. There's Jody. Jody's a very important individual when it comes to Southern Soul and Blues. Of course, we've got the new single by Mike Clark Jr. and DJ Trucker. Got It Going On. Number 26 is Sweet Potato Pie. I guess there's more than one version of it, I guess. I don't know. This is Howard the Classic. At number 25 is Gerald Rayburn. Now, he is a gospel and traditional blues artist. He's doing his single, Somebody Been Talking Too Much. That does happen from time to time. Westlove and the Folks That Make Man. Westlove doing Swing Out. Mr. Bowlegs saying, What You Won't Do. I guess he's talking to a woman, I guess. Miss Poochie. Shouts out to Miss Poochie. She is from Montgomery. Doing What You Are Doing. Not How It Goes. So I guess she's talking to a man now. King George with his new single, It's Over. Breeze, Mr. Do Too Much. Blues and Crown. Well, there's the blues again. 803 Fresh. This Ain't That. Jay Marshall doing Bootlegger. Sky Whitley and Cowboy Tip doing Cut Friend. Stan Butler doing Let's Get Married. My friend Pat Cooley doing Cheating Ain't Nothing. Shouts out to Jay Sine doing Real Real Woman. Juju Evans, I Need Me a Drink. I told y'all, there's the drinking. We're going to have a lot of drinking in the blues. Sid Wade and Willie Clayton saying Mr. Right. I guess that's Mr. Right now. Let's see. Shout out to J1. J1's probably one of the hottest artists. Why Not? LaMarcus Williams saying Can I Get a Witness? I don't know whether he's singing blues or gospel. I don't know. My friend, long time no hear from, Carrie Carter doing Borrowed Times. Mika, Get My Party On. Westlove, and there's another entry from Miss Westlove, doing Letter. FPJ, I'm Sorry. Magic One, Stepping and Swinging. Nephew Jones, he's doing Moonshine in the Trunk. Frank Johnson, You Can Hate on Me, probably one of the hottest songs right now in Southern Soul. The infamous and legendary Lenny Williams, Mr. Saying She Took My Draws. Y'all need to go hear that if you haven't already. You need to go hear Take My Draws. She Took My Draws. And then at number one, Big Mel doing Take My Time featuring Miss Jody. There again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the top 30 by Soul Chart. I'm sorry, the top 30 by the Urban Influencer. The top 30 Southern Soul chart. So there again, I told y'all, the blues, we're going to talk about womanizing, drinking, going to the juke joint spot. If you hear any of that in the blues, that's exactly where you are, is with the blues. So, like, for example, and I'll go back and give you just some fine examples of it. Nephew Jones, Moonshine in the Trunk. Okay. Lenny Williams telling somebody else, She Took My Draws. Okay. Let's just go down the list for a moment. We got time. There again, I Need Me a Drink, Juju Evans. Let's see. Bootlegger. Okay. all of these artists are talking about something that has to do with drinking, womanizing something. Here's another one. LJ Eccles. Let's get drunk. Let's get drunk. Please and thank you. Anyway, there again, ladies and gentlemen, we have been on a journey. And this is a journey of something special when it comes to these blues men. I mean, I can't say enough. I can't say enough. The blues men are where it's at. I mean, they literally are. They're some of the greats of music. And we have one more great of music, Mr. William Bell. Mr. William Bell he's Grammy nominated. And I think he's won one or two Grammys, I believe. But the Academy of, I believe it's called it, the Academy of Arts and Sciences or something like that. But anyway, the folks that hold the Grammys has bestowed, as of the 20th of March, they've bestowed an honor on Mr. William Bell in one of his songs, which is probably one of his best. Debut single from 1961, Mr. William Bell, of course, he was one of the original artists on Stax Records. He did a song called You Don't Miss Your Water. This year's edition includes four albums, six singles that exhibit quantitative and historic significance and are within the last 25 years. They're 25 years old. It was within the last 25 years that it's at least 25 years old, which it definitely is. 1961, Stax Records. Let's give a big congratulations and a big salute to Mr. William Bell for having his single, You Don't Miss Your Water, inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. And it was inducted on March 20th. So it was an inducted recording to celebrate Mr. William Bell. Let me look at something before we head out. I really need to get this, since we're talking about William Bell, I need to look at something rather quickly as we continue to record this podcast on the blues men. Let's see what his let's see something here. Let's talk about William Bell. We got a little bit of time. He's shouts out to Wallaby Records, which is his record label. Let me see something here. This is what I want right here. Okay, he was born in Memphis, and he moved to Atlanta back in the 70s. He was, like I told you, he was on the same label as the likes of Albert King, There's the Blues, Sam and Dave, Isaac Hayes, Booker T and the MGs, the Staple Singers, and the Barcays. And there's his debut single, 1961. He recorded You Don't Miss Your Water as a solo artist. He was in the group called the Del Rios before then. And it was one of the label's first hits. He spent 2 years in the military, and in 1967 he released his first full length album, which was called The Soul of Bell. It had a top 20 single, Everybody Loves a Winner. And that year, the Born Under the Bad Sign was recorded by Albert King, and William Bell wrote Under the Bad Sign. He wrote the signature tune for Albert King. So he was not only a great singer, but he was also a great producer. Great, well, I guess I'm not going to say a producer. He was a great writer. So he wrote, he did great things. I'm trying to see if he has, let's see if he has that. Okay, he has a WC Heritage Award, which is, he has a Blues Song, a BMI Songwriters Award for Put That Woman First, which he recorded along with Jaheim. I don't know if he's ever had, doesn't look like he's had a Grammy. I don't think he's had one. Yeah, he did. In 2017, he received a Grammy for the CD on Stax Concord Records. This Is Where I Live for Americana Album of the Year, performed on the live TV presentation with Gary Clark Jr. So he does have a Grammy. So yeah, he does. And this was 2023. He released a 12 song, which we play on the Southern Soul Station. He released a One Day Closer to Home, which is a great album overall. So anyway, I got off on a little tangent, but I hope you enjoyed that about Mr. William Bell. A 1961 recording of You Don't Miss Your Water was inducted. His song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame, and he does have a Grammy. And I think he's been nominated numerous times as well. But anyway, I will definitely do a little bit better with my research. This podcast is really off the cuff. It's not really the stiffy kind, the stuffy kind like you normally hear. A lot of information and nothing to really talk about. I do go on rants. So I hope you enjoyed this particular portion of the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show with all of the great music. The charts, the little anecdotes and facts and things that I know about. But don't quote me on anything at all. This is just one man's opinion. Opinions are like asses. Everybody got one and it stinks. So take it for a grain of salt. I love everybody. Thank you so much for the response. As we continue to take our journey through Southern Soul and through Southern Soul music and, of course, Soul Blues. So look out for me. The next episode is coming and coming soon. This has been the Mr. Southern Soul Radio Show with your boy, DJ Smooth D. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great and wonderful evening. Take care. Bye now.